Hamar, and Pharez begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah, and Uzziah begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Echaz, and Echaz begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias. Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad. Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azar, and Azar begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Maathan, and Maathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abram to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon under Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this time this morning once again. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. Lord, the special remembrance that we have of our Lord Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that we can read. And Lord, I pray you would quicken each one of us now, Lord, that we might be enabled by your grace to receive that which you'd have for us. May it be, Lord, that there be something for each one from this message this morning. It might be an encouragement, a challenge, or a blessing in some way, so that your will would be accomplished. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I read through that genealogy from Abraham right down through, and sometimes we skip through that and we hurry through it because we just can't see the point of it, all these names, and can't even pronounce half of them, so why would we bother? But it's interesting, if you've never studied through that genealogy, then take time to do it sometime. You'll notice some interesting things in there that about some of the people named there. Some of those who were very unlikely to be in the line of the Messiah, you would think. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Rahab, the Bible says, was a harlot in the city. And Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Now Ruth was a Moabitess, not a likely candidate for the line of the Lord Jesus. And so we see, as we look at some of these things, the grace of God and God's sovereignty and being able to overrule and to accomplish his will and way, so that we get right down to verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It's interesting as you follow that down and you start in the Old Testament with Genesis 3:15, God says there would be a seed of the woman. Now, you think about that in terms of this genealogy which I've read for us, except for Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, the men begat, the men begat, the men begat, Jacob begat, Obed begat. It was the seed of the man. But when we get to Joseph, the Bible is very clear here and differentiates Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Joseph did not begat Jesus. All right. Genesis 3:15 says it's the seed of the woman. The Messiah who would come and bruise the serpent's head was the seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, the Bible also says that he would be the seed of Abraham. And so Matthew starts with Abraham and traces down through that. The Bible says that he would come through the tribe of Judah. Remember in Revelation, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah in Genesis 49. And we notice that in that genealogy. And Judah begat Pharaoh. And then as you follow it down, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that the Messiah, the Christ, would be of the line of David. And we read there that Jesse begat David the king. And so we follow down. And so that's why it follows from Abraham down through Judah, not any of the other sons of Isaac, but down through Judah, down through David, down through Solomon, down through to Joseph, who was of the line of David, who was the line of Judah, who was the line of Abraham, and yet it wasn't Joseph who begat Jesus. He was the seed of the woman. So there's some interesting things there when you look at these genealogies and to see how the scriptures dovetail together and how it all fits and pieces together to make a beautiful picture of what God had planned right back there at the start of human history. But I want to consider Joseph this morning and God's dealings with him. We don't hear a lot about Joseph, do we? Normally we hear a lot about Mary. In fact, the Catholic Church has venerated Mary and now call her the Mother of God, which is blasphemy, by the way. She's not the Mother of God. God is eternal. He is the I Am. He is Jehovah. He is the Lord. He is self-existent. He has no mother. God is God. Mary was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That is true. But in verse 18 in Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. You see, it's something different. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, in other words, they were in a betrothal period in those days. That would be normally about a 12-month period. It was the same as being married. It's not like our engagement today. There's some similarities. But the espousal or betrothal was considered to be a marriage situation, but there was this period of anything up to a year before the marriage was consummated, and so the bride stayed in her family home and the bridegroom stayed in his family home. And when the time for the consummation of the wedding, the marriage came and the marriage supper and all that kind of thing, then the bridegroom would go down to the bride's home and take her back to her father's house, and they would celebrate and the marriage would be consummated. Interesting thing about that in terms of the Lord Jesus' second coming. The bridegroom is going to come for the bride, and the bride is supposed to prepare herself and be ready for his coming and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's in the Father's house at the moment preparing a place for us. Remember he said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And we could spend some time on that this morning, but I want to move on just to cause you to think about that. He was espoused to Mary. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now go across to Luke chapter 1, and in Luke he gives a little more detail about that and what God had been working out there for Mary and working out his own purposes and plans. In Luke chapter 1, we'll get back to Matthew 1 in a moment, but Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Mary says, what's this angel got for me? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I'm glad that God put that there just to remind us, amen? Here's Mary, who was a virgin, had not known a man, and yet the angel came to her and said, you are going to have a son. And one could imagine the many thoughts that may have gone through Mary's mind about that. But we go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost before she had come together with Joseph. Notice now in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. I like that. I've underlined that in my Bible, that word just. Joseph was a just man. Joseph was a saved man. Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph knew God. Joseph was a man who walked with God. And Joseph was a very gracious man. You say, why do you say that? Well, let's look at it. And was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, did you put yourself in Joseph's place for a moment? He's espoused to Mary. Some time has gone by since that betrothal has begun, and now he hears that Mary is about to have she's pregnant and going to have a child. And he knows that he's not the father. Now, the obvious question in his mind, who's the father? These things don't just happen. Well, they don't normally, but with God, and nothing is impossible. The child was conceived of the Holy Ghost. It was a miraculous conception. It wasn't a miraculous birth. The Lord Jesus was born normally. But it was a miraculous conception. The Spirit of God conceived the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary. And so you try and think about how you might have felt if you were Joseph as you thought about this and you had the news, Mary breaks the news, I'm going to have a child. And Joseph thought about it. We don't know how long he thought about it. The Bible doesn't give us any time factors here. But Joseph, under the law, could have had her put to death, taken her out to the gates of the city and had her stoned. Now, that's the most that could have happened. The least he could have done, in one sense, was to give her a bill of divorcement. And Deuteronomy 24 speaks of that, and the Lord Jesus dealt with that in Matthew chapter 19 when the disciples were there and the Pharisees came to try and trip him up and ask him about that whole question. And they said, why is it that Moses commanded a bill of divorcement? Well, Deuteronomy 24 said that if they found anything amiss with their wife, then they could give her a bill of divorcement. And so Joseph could have done either of those two things. He could have said, well, this is a disgrace, and sorry, Mary, but you're going to have to be put to death. Or he could have said, okay, I'm going to write a bill of divorcement. Either would have made a very public situation for her. Would have brought great shame and a great disgrace to her and her family. But the Bible says that Joseph was a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. In other words, Joseph was going to just deal with this thing and say, well, Mary, look, you know, we can't continue. I don't know what's happened here. You know, I can't trust you, whatever he might have said. And I'm just going to break this commitment we've had, and I'm just going to just put you away, and I'm just going to move on. I'm not going to make a big commotion. I'm not going to make a public issue of it, but I'm just going to do that. And the Bible says in verse 20, while he thought on these things, you can imagine, you know, try and put yourself in his position once again, the turmoil in his thinking. What am I going to do here? How do I explain this to my friends? How do I explain it to my family? How do I hold my head up now? And you know, say, oh, Mary, oh, she was the one you were espoused to. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we heard about her. Just, you know, the things that may have run through his mind. And yet in all that, he was very gracious. He was a just man. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Gracious response, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. And so God now steps in through this angel of the Lord and begins to speak to Joseph. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. You see, that confirms what I was saying. They were only in a time of being espoused or betrothed, and yet she was still considered his wife, even though the marriage had not yet been consummated, had not come for his bride to take her home. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And that would set his mind going again, I'm sure. So this child, to think through that a little bit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That would have given him something to think about. This child has been conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost, and he's going to be called God with us. Now, we don't really appreciate, I'm sure, what would have been going through his mind and the things he would have been thinking about. I mean, imagine if that God came to you and told you that. Just as you think about those things and all the implications and everything that took place there. And God says, no, this is a fulfillment of a prophecy which Isaiah made. You can read about it in Isaiah 7, verse 14. And notice it says a virgin, not a young woman. There's a difference between a virgin and a young woman. A young woman may or may not be a virgin. Very specific about that. This is something unique. This is something that is very unusual, very different. Something that's impossible to happen, humanly speaking. And yet God, the Bible says, in the fullness of time, sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. In Galatians. This was in God's perfect timing. Why? Because he said right back in Genesis 3:15, he's going to send the seed of the woman. Down through those other scriptures we mentioned. And the Bible says there in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. I mean, he could have said, well, that was a bad dream I had last night. All sorts of things, but he recognized the voice and the hand of God, and he did what God said. You and I could do well to heed Joseph. Joseph's in a very difficult situation. But in all that thought, the thoughts and everything that would have been ebbing and flowing and the emotions and everything else, he still could discern the hand and the voice of God, and he did what God said. And it's interesting, again, verse 25, that last little bit, we see again the grace and the integrity of Joseph. And I'm sure he would have known the scriptures well, the Old Testament scriptures, because he was a just man. And verse 25 says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. Two things. Number one, a virgin shall bring forth a son. She remained that until after the birth of the Lord Jesus. Very specific details there. And then he called his name Jesus. Normally it was the man's position to decide what the name of the child would be. But God said, Joseph, he shall be called Jesus. Joseph said, yes, Lord, that's what he'll be. He did what God asked him to do. Difficult, very hard situation to be in. And yet Joseph responded properly to that. That's number one, Joseph's predicament and how he responded in obedience to God. Go across to chapter 2 now. We see the second situation. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, all Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring ye word again, and I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." Sorry, I've already said this in years gone by, but when you read the Christmas cards, it's not a baby in a manger that they visited. This is a young child in a house, okay? Just by the by. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream. Now God comes to Joseph once again in the dream of the angel of the Lord, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Now he's faced with another problem. God tells him, "You need to move because Herod is going to try and destroy the young child." What do we do in that situation? Listen to what God tells you to do in that situation. Listen to what the Lord has to say. God says, "You need to arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to Egypt." To Egypt? Yes, to Egypt. "That's not the place I would normally go, Lord, to Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. Abraham went down into Egypt and ran into all sorts of problems, and so did Lot as a result of that. Egypt's not a good place to go. The children of Israel were in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt. Not a good place." God says, "Joseph, here's what I want you to do. Take the young child and the mother and go down into Egypt." Well, the Bible doesn't say he spent a lot of time on that. Just says he arose, took the young child and departed. Just did what God told him to do, amen? Now that'll work every time if you do what God tells you to do. Sometimes God might ask you to do something that seems a little unusual. Sometimes God might look at something and point out something to you thinks a little bit out of the ordinary. But if you're a just man like Joseph was, and walking with God like Joseph was, and in tune with God like Joseph was, when you hear the Lord's voice, as the Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," when you hear the Lord's voice and you do it, blessing will come. Blessing will come. So they're in great danger. What do we do? Just do what God tells you to do, Joseph. Go down into Egypt. Number 3, verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." You see, God had a good reason for telling him to go into Egypt. God had some prophetic scriptures that he wanted to fulfill. It wasn't just for the sake of it. It wasn't that God didn't have any other ideas, but God had already laid this down. This is how he wanted these things to take place. And so he was busy fulfilling his will as Joseph was obedient to him. So that's how God works in our lives. God's got a plan and purpose for you and I. And if we'll just heed what he says and do what he says, then we'll enjoy that plan for our lives. Verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Herod said, this young child has got to be anything up to 2 years old, and so I'm going, because I've asked the wise men, when did they first see that sign? That was about 2 years ago. That means this child must be round about anything up to 2 years old. I'll deal with him by killing every son, every child, every male child up to 2 years old. Great danger. And yet God had already gone ahead, prepared the way for Joseph and his mother and the young child. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Now God's program moves on. Joseph's down in Egypt. I guess he's sitting down there wondering, now what? We're down in Egypt. What's going to happen now? And God says, right, next move. An angel of the Lord appeareth him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. God says, all right, Herod's dead. Those who wanted to take his life, they're dead. You can go back to Israel now. Oh, good, okay. Back to Israel. And the Bible says, verse 20, 21, and he arose. God said, do it. He said, I'll do it. It's a blessing, isn't it, when you look at Joseph's life. God says, do this, Joseph does it. Do this, Joseph does it. Do this, he does it. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Now he's faced with another problem. There's another man on the throne and he's afraid of this man. Another difficult situation. Now what do we do? God says, it's all right. Everything's under control. He was afraid. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside in the parts of Galilee and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. See God guiding and leading him through all this? From the very first day when he gets the news that Mary is going to have a child, and God is guiding and leading him, and in fearful situations, times when he was afraid, difficult situations, seeming impossible situations, God is leading him and directing him. And as he obeyed, God gave him more directions and obeyed more directions. And so it went on in his life there. Beautiful picture of how we ought to be, amen? Just, you say, I've got some difficulties in my life right now. Listen for the voice of God and do what he tells you to do. I'm afraid of certain situations. Listen to the voice of God and do what he tells you to do, amen? Joseph, what's the problem? This lady I'm espoused to, I hear she's going to have a child. It's all right. It's okay. Take her unto you as your wife. Remember, the virgin shall bring forth a son. Yes, Lord. And you're to call his name Jesus. Yes, Lord. We'll do that. Herod, what's going on? There's a young child. I need to have him put to death because he's a threat to the throne. What are we going to do, Lord? Joseph, go down into Egypt. Now we've been down here a while, Lord, now what? Now go back to Israel. Lord, but I'm afraid because Archelaus, Herod's son, he's likely to follow out the threats of his father. It's okay, go to Nazareth. It's all right. It's all under control. I want to go to Luke chapter 2 and see one more mention of Joseph. As I've already said, we don't hear a whole lot about Joseph. We don't see a whole lot about him. But I want to just see how he finishes in terms of what we understand from the scriptures. Still as a faithful man, still serving the Lord and still being obedient to God. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, maybe just back up a couple of verses there. To verse 40 anyway, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind Jerusalem, and Joseph, his mother, knew not of it. The point I want to make is here that Joseph, as the years continued on, Joseph stayed faithful to God and obedient to the word of God. The Jews were to go up to Jerusalem once a year for the Passover. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was faithful in doing that year after year after year. And here we have the Lord Jesus now 12 years old, and Joseph is still taking his family up to Jerusalem for the Passover. He's still walking in obedience to the word of God. He's still that just and gracious man of integrity, living for and serving God. Amen? A great picture and a great example for you and I. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we need to be like Joseph. We need to be just in our dealings with others. We need to be gracious in our dealings with others. And we need to hear the voice of God when we're in difficult situations. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're not even in a difficult situation, but we're wanting to know some things from God. Then listen to the voice of God. Hear what God has to say through his word. Remember, many of these were fulfillments of prophetic scriptures. God will never contradict his word. We don't have to move on some fuzzy feeling. Oh, God told me this, God told me that. Well, make sure it does line up with the scriptures. But when it does, be obedient to what God tells you. And it'll always bring blessing. It'll always bring God's protection. It'll always bring God's provision in your life. And may we be like Joseph and be obedient to those things that God shows us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of Joseph. Lord, there's not a lot said about him in one sense, but what is said, Lord, is very significant. Lord, he was a just man. He was a saved man. He was a man, a righteous man, a man of integrity and a very gracious man, Lord, given the situation he was in. And then, Lord, how you, at the right time, with perfect timing, communicated him that which he needed. And then his response, Lord, how he obeyed and so on down through those years. And then we finally see him there when the Lord Jesus was 12, still being faithful, going up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And Lord, we're thankful for his testimony. Lord, there's lessons for each and every one of us. Lord, help us to listen to your voice, whatever our circumstances. Maybe it's a time of trouble. Maybe it's a time of fear. Lord, whatever it is, but may we heed the voice of God and be obedient to those things that you would show us, your guiding and your leading. And Lord, knowing that it will bring great blessing in our lives. And Lord, knowing that it will bring honour and glory to you, as Joseph's life certainly did. So we give you thanks and praise once again. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.